May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, a four-year-old boy and his father were having a wonderful day at the beach, just having a good time playing in the waves and building sandcastles and just walking along. And then all of a sudden, they came across a dead seagull lying in the sand. And the boy asked his father, "Daddy, what happened to the birdie?" And his dad was really worried that this might spoil the whole day. And so he came up with a nice, soft answer and said, "Son, the bird died and went to heaven." And then the boy asked, "Well, did God throw him back down?" Gotta love kids. As we continue this season of Epiphany, exploring the Psalms and how they ready our hearts to hear God speaking to us in Scripture, we come to a collection of lectionary readings that are linked today by children. Scripture often remarks how children are a blessing, and it makes much of ensuring that we recognize our care for them is indeed a sacred trust. And as we prepare to baptize Rowan this morning, it's easy to think of children as a precious gift from heaven. But this morning, as we dig into our readings, we might be taken a little aback at the references that we find to children here. We see Jeremiah receiving a heavy prophetic call at a young age. We also note in St. Paul's analogy of our current spiritual understanding as childlike compared to the mature understanding of God that we will have in the future at Christ's return. And then we also see a mixed reception of Jesus in his hometown because of his parentage, while Jesus himself notes the special care that Elijah had on the Gentile widow of Zarephath, and by implication, her son as well. This juxtaposition of the real challenges of youth and lineage versus the seriousness of our vocations, our spiritual understanding, and our ability to make a welcome impact on others can leave us seeing childhood as more of a liability than an asset. And this is where I believe our selection from Psalm 71 is most helpful. In calling upon the righteous protection of God from our very infancy, the psalmist would readily recognize the need to grow into such a mature trust. And that trust, in turn, produces a developed sense of mission, a deeper understanding of God's purposes, and a broader impact for the sake of the gospel than the limits that others might impose upon us by accident of our birth. From the beginning of the psalm, we see that to place our trust in God is never something to be ashamed of. The Psalms and the wisdom literature of the Bible often talk about shame, understood primarily in terms of not living up to the high calling of personal holiness that the law of God summons us to. And that's a daunting call for adults, let alone children. It's ethical failure in the eyes of God that's implied here, not concerns about prestige or the perceptions of mere mortals. The psalmist is more worried about living a life of moral dishonor than of being mocked for one's faith. Because in the end, Christ is our judge, not the court of public opinion. So it's from this place of absolute trust in our Lord that the psalmist cries out for God's just protection. In your righteousness, deliver me and set me free. Well, that's a pretty high calling too. Perhaps even presumptuous. If holiness is the standard by which God rescues humanity, I don't know about you, but as for me, I'm in a mess of hurt. Nikki Gumbel from Holy Trinity Brompton once noted that we tend to think of a scale of holiness with people like Hitler on the bottom and people like Mother Teresa at the top with somewhere probably in the middle. Well, in reality, because we are made in God's image, God is at the top, and His holiness shoots up into infinity compared to any of our attempts to be good. So it's good that the psalmist bases God's protection on your righteousness, is what he says, the holiness and surpassing goodness of Almighty God Himself. And to the degree that God is good, holy, and righteous, it's to that degree that we can be secure in God's protection. There's a gospel song that I remember singing back in college. It was inspired by the 23rd Psalm, and it captures some sense of the security and goodness of and holiness of our God. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadow's grass and leads me beside the quiet streams. He restores my failing hands, and He helps me do what honors Him the most. That's why I'm safe. That's why I'm safe. That's why I'm safe. Safe in His arms. The psalmist is fully confident in the ability of a loving God to keep him safe from all evils, enemies, and ills of this world and the next. Of course, that kind of confidence and trust isn't something that happens overnight. As much as God's superior qualities commend themselves to us, it was a lifetime of tested faith experience that proved God's saving metal in the psalmist's eyes. From his own mother's womb, the psalmist has seen and learned how to rely upon the rescuing and protecting hand of God to uphold him in any situation. Which is why it is important for us to ensure that we do our part, parent and parish alike, to give the children that are entrusted to our care every spiritual advantage. Going to church and Sunday school aren't just good options when we feel like a spiritual boost, but are vital lifelines that connect us to God and to one another as we grow in faith together as part of Jesus' family. Keeping a family altar where prayer and scripture with one another are a daily habit stokes the embers of our soul so that love for God never grows cold. And parents and godparents also ought to model righteousness, loving service to the needy, watchfulness over our attitudes, our words, our actions, and genuine humility in asking forgiveness from God and those we have wronged before sin has a chance to fester into a worse spiritual malady. These practices build up confidence and hope in God's character and promises, both in us and our children. With a solid trust in our loving, holy, and powerful God from the time we cut our teeth to the time we are called home to the arms of our Savior, our hearts will be ready to face any challenge, whether the unique challenge of being summoned to a very adult call while still a youth, like the prophet Jeremiah, the common challenge that we all share of growing into spiritual maturity as we practice the virtues of faith, hope, and love, like the church at Corinth, or the still too common challenge that Jesus and his followers have always faced in dealing with naysayers and bullies around us who cannot abide the fact that we have grown bolder in sharing the good news of Christ's love, both in our word and our deeds. If we take advantage of the opportunity to grow up trusting the just, dependable, and protecting hand of our triune God, whether from literal childhood or simply from this day forward in our lives as God's adopted children by faith, our hearts will be equipped to take on any and all comers. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome sin and brought us to yourself, and that by the sealing of your Holy Spirit, you have bound us to your service. Renew in us, your servants, the covenant you make with us in baptism. Send us forth in the power of the Spirit to perform the service you set before us, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.